Tonight's shir, Parshas Ekev. Pasuk says, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, tishmerun lasos. It says, every mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, you should do. Now in English you can't tell the difference, but in Lashon HaKodesh, there's a difficulty here. Since the pasuk starts off in the singular, the mitzvah that I command you is in singular, mitzavcha. And it concludes in the plural, tishmerun, you should do them. So it begins in the singular and concludes in the plural. What's the idea? So Galinsky brings a maisa. There was once a yid, a very simple guy, that went to the Rav with a question. He says, Rebbe, I really want to be a Ben Olam Haba, but what can I tell you? I don't have time to learn, and I'm an Am Haaretz. And I don't know what should I do. Tell me a quick ticket to Olam Haba. Can you help me on that? So he says, okay, listen to what I'm going to tell you, and don't ever forget it, and then, Bezrat Hashem, you'll be successful. What is that? He says, consider as if there's only one mitzvah to do, and you're the only Jew in the world, and you only have today to do this one mitzvah. So the yid heard this, goes, really? That's all I have to do? Wow, that's wonderful, Rebbe. Thank you so much. So he's about to run out, and the Rebbe calls us. Wait, I have to explain what I mean. Thanks, I don't need an explanation, Rebbe. And he runs out. So he had this little store where he sold material. And he goes to a store, opens up the store, he's selling this, selling that, and then this old man walks in, and he wants to buy some material. Says, how much is it? So he tells him it's two dinarim. So the old man, by mistake, gives him three dinar, one extra. So he doesn't say anything. He sees that he overpaid him, but he doesn't say anything. Pockets the extra dinar. Lunchtime rolls around, close up the store, and he comes home. So his wife says to him, okay, dear, I made dinner for you, lunch, it's ready, and you can wash, and I'll serve it in a minute. So he says, no need. No need to what? No need to wash. I don't have to do an atelus yadayim. You can serve it to me as is. You know, give me the bread, and it's okay. No need for atelus yadayim. She goes, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You have to wash. I give you bread. He said, listen, dear, he says, I was at the Rav today, and he told me that all I have to do today, and only today, is one mitzvah. And I've done all kinds, put on film today, I davened, I did all kinds of mitzvahs today. I went way past my limit. The Rav said, only one mitzvah. I did it already. So I don't have to do no seal yadayim. And tomorrow I don't have to do even that, because he said only today I have to do a mitzvah. She says, what are you talking about? Have you gone crazy? So as she's trying to figure her husband out, there's a knock on the door. Who is it? The old man who he overcharged in the store. And he says, oh, good, I'm glad I found you, he says to the Balabais. He says, you know, remember I was in your store today and I bought some material? He goes, yeah. And it was two dinners. I accidentally paid you three. I didn't realize that. Only later I realized I overpaid. So can I have my dinner back? My extra dinner? So the Balabais says, no. He says, why not? He says, listen, I was at the Rav, and he told me I have to consider as if I'm the only Jew around. So if I'm the only Jew, that means you're not Jewish. And the halacha is a tausakim is mutter. If a goy makes a mistake, you don't have to return it. So I don't have to return you the money. He says, what are you talking about? He starts screaming at him. Anyways, his wife's screaming at him, this old man screaming at him, so he runs out of the house. So as he's running down the street, he starts thinking to himself, he says, they have a point. Am I going crazy? It doesn't make sense. What, I don't have to do any other, only one mitzvah. And he goes, you know, I think after all, I better go to the Rav and clarify things. So he comes and knocks on the door of the Rav. The Rav says, good, I'm glad you're here. He goes, yeah, Rav, you don't know what's going on over here. And just as he's trying to explain to him, his wife runs in. He goes, what have you told my husband? And then the old man walks in. He says, yeah, I'm going to take him to a dentora. So finally, the Rav says, calm down. Everybody calm down. Let me explain exactly what I told this man, and then it'll be clear. He says, I told him that in order to be successful, to be in a Ben Olam Haba, you should think, consider it as if you just have one mitzvah to do. What did I mean by that? There's Taryag mitzvahs we have. So since we have so many mitzvahs to do, a person could tend to, you know, be lazy and say, yeah, mitzvah comes into his hand to do. He might say, well, why should I do it? There's so many mitzvahs. I'll do another mitzvah. I don't have to do this one. There's so many of them. And he pushes it off, and he pushes this one off, that one, before he knows it, he's not doing very many mitzvahs. And therefore, I try to get the point across that you should think as if this is the only mitzvah. This is the only mitzvah, so there's no other mitzvah. I can't push it off, and nothing, I'll do something else. There's nothing else to do. This is the mitzvah. You got to do it. That was the first thing I told him. Second thing I told him is that he should consider he's the only yid. Why? Because here also, sometimes, let's say, Ani comes to your door, and then, can I have a donation? I need some money, whatever. So what does the person do? He might think, look, there's so many Jews around. I have to support this guy. There's other Yidden. He says, okay, you know, he may give him a little bit and say, go somewhere else. You know, there's lots of Yidden around. So a person, let's say, who also wants to go to Shir. So Shir starts, what time? It looks, it's cold outside, whatever. There's plenty of Yidden at the Shir. Well, I have to need another Shir. How many people have to be at the Shir? And in the end, nobody shows up. So therefore, a person has to pretend as if he's the only Yid around. As he's the only Jew. There's nobody else. No other Jew that can help this guy. You're the only one. Second Yisod. And finally, the third Yisod, Hayom, that you have to consider as if today this is the only day that you have to do that mitzvah. Why? Because if you think you have tomorrow, again, you push it off. Why should I do the mitzvah today? I can do it tomorrow, next day, whatever. So therefore, no. There's only one mitzvah. Consider this is the only mitzvah to do, and you have to do it today, and you can't push it off and somebody else is going to do it. You're the only yid. That's the yisod I was teaching this fellow. And that's, therefore, answers our questions, hinted in the pasuk we mentioned. Kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom tishmeru lasot. It's speaking in the plural, because it's speaking to all of Klal Yisrael. But it's trying to drive home this point. Kol ha-mitzvah, in the singular, that everybody should consider, speaking to everybody, but every individual in the Klal has to consider as if there's only one mitzvah. Kol ha-mitzvah. I didn't say mitzvot, plural. There's only one mitzvah. Consider there's only one mitzvah. Asher anochi mitzavcha. I'm commanding you, meaning you, and as if there's no other Yidden around. Only you are commanded, in the singular. Hayom. And today. Today's the only day. Consider that today's the only day you have to do this mitzvah. And you don't push it off to tomorrow. That's the idea in the pasuk. The Gaon Mivilna, actually, the Chavos Chaim used to say in the name of the Gaon Mivilna, we find this in the Kriyat Shema. Right? The beginning of Kriyat Shema, we say, Vayu Adri Me'ela, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha, Hayom, Alo Avecha. Just this thing here, this paragraph, what we're talking about right now, just this alone, consider. Right? As if you're the only one, I'm commanding you and only you to do Hayom Alavecha, today and not tomorrow. Mamash, the same idea. The city of Petach Tikva was founded about 100 years ago by a group of very God-fearing Jews, and who was behind it was the Maharal Midiskin, the Brisker Rav, Maharal Diskin. And it was not that many people that started the yeshuva at the time, but it expanded a vast area. Till today, it's a very large, there's a lot of area in Petach Tikva. And how did it come about that these few people had such a huge area of land that they started with? It was purchased from the Arabs. And in those days, they didn't have maps and things like that. So what did they do? They would make a deal with an Arab, and they say, fine, a certain amount of money, they'll pay him. And how it used to work is they used to walk as much as they could during from the morning till the evening. They walk and walk and walk and rock, and whatever area they would cover, so that's included in the purchase. That's how you used to do things. So in those days there was a Yid, his name was Rabbi Yeshua Stempfer, which is interesting. When I saw the name, because my son learned in Petah Tikva, and we used to take him to yeshiva. The main street called the street in Petah Tikva there is called Stempfer. I was wondering, it's a funny name for a street. And I see it's in the name of Yeshua Stempfer. We'll see. He was the one that Mamash got the city going. We'll see in a minute. So what happened? So he was the side of the Kona. He was of the purchaser. And he got up really, really early, the day that he was supposed to meet with this Arab and go for the walk. And he davened, you know, very, very early, so that as soon as the break of dawn, he can start on his march and try to get as much land as he could. So what? He didn't just walk a little bit. No, he was on foot. The Arab was on a donkey. And he ran. He was an older man already. But he ran and he ran and he ran. He didn't, it wasn't like nice paved roads like it is today. He was running through bushes and thorns and potholes and, you know, like, this is raw ground. And he's running and he's running and he's running from east to west. Cover as much ground as he can. And he's running, and anybody would turn to him and say, oh, Yeshua, wouldn't stop to talk, nothing. Not to eat, not to drink, not to talk. He just kept running and running and running and running. Tried to amass as much land as he can. Finally got to from one end to the other, for he couldn't go anymore. And then he started going to north, towards the north, and then from north to the south. And the Arab was getting tired. He was on the donkey. And he said, let's stop for a little, something to eat. And he didn't even answer. He just kept going and going and going and going. And finally, till the end of the day, till Shkia. And once it was the end of the day, he wasn't allowed to go anymore. He just collapsed. He fainted on the spot. And but that's how they were able to acquire such a tremendous amount of land at the birth of Petach Tikva. And so he concludes, he says, Ilu hayinu menaslim kachet yameinu kama hayinu rochshim latzmeinu. He says, if we would take advantage of our whole lives, like Rabbi Yeshua did when he's running for Petach Tikva, how much would we accomplish? Okay. Next, the Chazon Ish was asked, what's the greatest hatzlacha of a person in this world? The greatest hatzlacha a person can have in this world. So he answered, to go through all of life without hurting anybody's feelings. Because that's the greatest hatzlacha you can have. He says, and how difficult is this? He says, you know, people are some people are very careful not to, you know, steal to hurt a person's money. When it comes to, you know, hurting your feelings, whatever, speaking bad about them, bad-mouthing this, bad-mouthing that, don't think about it too much. They're careful in other areas. When it comes to this, so I embarrass the guy a little bit. Who cares? What's the big deal? It's only words, et cetera, et cetera. So he says, if somebody would ask you, you know, what would you say about if withholding food from this guy that you just spoke about for a whole day, not let him eat or drink anything for a whole day. You think that's just? He says, Chas v'shalom. What? Not the guy's like starve a guy for a whole day? Chas v'shalom, never do such a thing. So he says, he's going to prove over here that embarrassing a person is worse than fasting, than not eating. Where does he get it? From this week's Sedra. It says in the Pasuk, Vayancha vayarivecha vayachilcha saman. Hashem said, what the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu is relating, that Hashem afflicted you, and he starved you, and he fed you the man. So the Mefarshim are bothered. What's that supposed to mean? Hashem afflicted? He didn't afflict us. He didn't starve us. He gave us the man. He gave us the man. We had the man, which would taste like anything, anything and everything, whatever we wanted to. Whatever. It was a wonderful food that we had the whole time we're in the Midbar. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying that he afflicted us and he starved us? Where's the affliction? Where's the starvation? So he suggests the following hesber that we know Chazal tell us in the Gemara Yoma that the man fell in different places for different people, right? People that were tzaddikim, it fell right by their tent, the opening of their tent. They opened their tent, boom, it's right there in front of them. People that were beinanim, they had to go to the entrance of the camp. They had to go to the outskirts of the camp and get their man there. And the rishayim, they had to wander all over the place to try to find their man. So he says, imagine a guy, Balabas, you know, he wakes up in the morning, and he's hungry, you know, wants to get a good start day and taste his Wheaties and his man, you know. So he gets up and he says, fine. He thinks, of course, I'm a tzaddik, you know, what's the big deal? I'll just open my tent door like I do every morning. There's the man. So he does. So he opens up and gavalt, there's no man. So he says, uh-oh, no man. What does that mean? Well, I guess I my Avodas Hashem was a little bit weak, you know, yesterday, and, you know, I'm not getting my man over here at the entrance. So he thinks, now, what should I do? Well, okay, so, you know, hopefully I'm at least a Beinoni, so I'll have to go to the, you know, edge of the camp and get my man from there. But he says, what's going to be? I'm going to go to the edge of the camp, I'm going to take the man, put it in my basket or whatever, I'm going to start walking back, and he's going to look at me and go, oh, yeah, I see, you're not a tzaddik, you know, you have to go get your man. And he says, you know what? He says, that's a good scenario. What would be if I'm not even going to find it there? And I'm going to have to join Dasan Vaviram and these Rishayim and wander all over the place. Like, boy, what a busha that's going to be. So what does the guy decide to do? He says, it's okay, I'll avoid these bushot. He goes back into his tent, and his wife says, "Nu, where's the man? Yeah, we didn't bring in the man." He says, "I decided to leave it, you know, tainus chalom, you know, I had a dream last night, I had to fast, and anyway, make up some story why he's not eating today, right? Why? Well, just avoid the embarrassment that he not having the man by his tent." So Mela, he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Vayancha v'yer Hashem afflicted us and starved us. Meaning, there's some when Hashem didn't bring the man to our tent door sometimes because of our sins, so we ended up not eating. Why? Because of the busha. So therefore, he afflicted us, he starved us, but then that at least caused us to make a cheshbon and nefesh, so that at least the next day, v'achil chasaman, at least the next day we got the man back at our tent door. So he says, well, what do we see from here? We see from here that it's a person who would rather starve than to be embarrassed. So before you go embarrass somebody, you wouldn't want to starve that person, that chas v'shalom. So think of it. A person would rather starve than to be embarrassed. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, in Orachayim Kuf Pei Dalet, says the following, that if a person is in doubt whether he benched or not, so he has to bench again, as long as he was full. As, from this week's Seder, it says, V'chalta v'savata v'irachta Hashem al-kecha. It's a mitzvah deraisa, to bench. You should eat and be satiated and bless. And therefore, like any mitzvah deraisa that you are suffic about, whether you just did it or not, you have to do it again, because it's a suffic deraisa l'chum. Fine. He says, however, he says, very strange. Why? So there's a somewhat well-known story happened with the Chasam Sofer. Right? The Chasam Sofer, of course, was Kulo Torah, you know. And he used to give a daily shiur, which was almost like knock him out with a, you know, could give it his all. And following the shiur, he would go into his, like, study, and there he would write his tshuvas, Shalos and Tshuvas. So he had, like, a bachar that was, like, his shamish. And his job is every day to bring him something to drink, a coffee or whatever, and a piece of cake. So, you know, give him something while he was in his study. So, fine, this bacher would do so daily. One day, the bacher is carrying this piece of cake on his plate, a very scrumptious looking cake. And he's thinking to himself, you know, what a waste of cake. You know, Chasam Sofer, think he knows what he's eating, this, that, he's another world, there's a world of Torah. He doesn't know what's flying, but he doesn't even realize when he's eating, not eating. He says, and so it's a mamash, a waste of a good piece of cake. So what did he decide to do? He said, I'm not going to waste it, I at least appreciate it. So he ate the cake. And he left a few crumbs on the plate, and he went into the study and put it at the edge of the table, the plate. He says, sure, the Chasam Sofer's not going to, you know, remember he ate, didn't he? Yeah, and at least he got himself a nice good piece of cake. Fine, what happens? Later on, the Chasam Sofer calls over the Bachar, and he says, what happened to the cake? Where's the cake? Where's the cake? So he was shocked. He says, said, so he just said, well, what do you, the Rav ate it. Doesn't Rav remember? So Rav said, you know what? You're right. I remember if I ate, I didn't ate. That's true. I don't remember what if I ate or not ate. But what I do remember is that I didn't make a bracha. And if I didn't make a bracha, that means a sign that I didn't eat. So he says that when the chasm soifer, he doesn't remember if he eats or not. But he does remember, he makes a bracha. He says, why is it that by us we need a halach and a shulchan aruch when we know we ate, the shah is if we made a bracha or not? That's our suffix. He says the difference is because the chasam soifer's whole mind is in the bracha, and the vodas Hashem, where's our minds in the food. So mele, by us, we're not sure whether we ate a bracha or not. He said, not very many people know the din in shulchan aruch, in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Ches. It says, "Le'inyan lishol bebirkas hamazon mipnei yiro mipnei kavod yesh misha omer shedina katfila." And when it comes to answering, person like we have in Kriyat Shema, somebody, some chashuv person asks you something, "How are you?" Whatever, you'll have to answer. And the shaylav hefsek in the middle of Kriyat Shema, and the Shulchan Aruch brings, "What's the din when it comes to benching?" In the middle of benching, and somebody says hello to you, whatever, you'll have to answer. So he says it has the same din as tefillah. So he says many people don't realize that, how serious benching. And the benching is like it has a din of tefillah. Like you're davening, just like you're davening. If somebody says, "Hey, how are you?" Nobody would think of turning around and saying, you know, you waved to him, whatever. No, you're in the middle of davening. So benching has the same din. You're not supposed to. Your miram is, you have to bench like you're davening. And he says the Magid Mezrich, he even adds, and he says you have to be more makpid on Birkas Hamazon even than tefillah. Why? Because tefillah is derabanan, and Birkas Hamazon is deraisa. Like we mentioned before, the mitzvah, the benching is a mitzvah mina Torah. Davening is a mitzvah de Rabbanan. So the Magid Mimezer says you have to be more magid even on benching, even more than davening. He says it's not kedai, says Rav Galinsky, to publicize this fact. He says why? Because of a maisa, which we had mentioned before in one of the previous shurim, that Chavitz Chaim used to have people, some avreichim, go around and selling his svarim on Shmir Salasha. And he used to tell them that when you go to different places, you should give it a little shmooze, you know, tell the people the importance of Shmir Salasha. He says, so one guy, one avreich, went, you know, to sell his farm, and he came back and was disheartened. He goes, "I'm not doing this again." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because I wanted to do something good, and the opposite happened." He says, "What are you talking about?" So he says, "Well, I came to the shul, and I gathered people together, you know, to Mincha Ma'ariv, and I gave a little shmooze about the importance of Shmiras Halashon. So what did I say? So I had an idea. I said, you know, people are, you know, you're very careful of with kashrus, right?" He says, "Right." And he says, would anybody here think about eating chazer?" Chas v'shalom, eat chazer, what, are you crazy? "Of course not." He says, "Right, people are very careful of that, and basar v'chalav, you make sure you wait 6 hours, and that's what, 100%, yeah." So he says, "But just think for a minute, do you realize," he told the people, "do you realize that eating, you know, not waiting 6 hours, whatever, that's a derbana." So to wait between basar chalav, that's a mitzvah derabanan. If a person chas v'shalom eats chazir, much worse. Of course, it's a deraisa. The person's over on a lot. He says, "But do you realize that somebody who speaks lashon hara can be over on 17 yisurei deraisa just by a word or two of lashon hara? 17 yisurei deraisa." So he thought he made a nice, you know, got the point across. Fine. So afterwards, he was, after davening, you know, he was making his way out, and he overheard a couple of people talking. And one of them says to the other, he says, "You know, wow, I heard of what this Rav said about, you know, the kashrus and Shmiras Halashon. He said, you know, I see that I guess I've been making too much of a big deal about the kashrus. You know, it's not so important. You look at that. Shmiras Halashon, 70, we have to not so exaggerate so much on our care of our kashrus." He says, be careful sometimes what a person says and how he... therefore, he says, I don't know if to tell everybody the benching is, you know, so more important than davening. You know, what are people liable to take from that? Okay, so now when my telephone rings during Shmonas Esrei, maybe okay, I could, you know, answer it, you know, whatever, and look at the newspaper a little bit while I'm davening, whatever. It's not so important. It's not as important as benching. So he said, you have to be careful what you tell people. Okay. Finally, it says in Navi, in Yechezkel, it says, Pasuk says, V'tikhi es banayich ves benosayich asher yaladitali. It says, you're taking your sons and daughters that you gave birth for me, Hashem is saying, V'tizbachim lahem lechol, and you're slaughtering them for to be eaten as food. What is it referring to? Rashi says, referring to the Vodah Zarah of Molech, right? When the person gives his child to Molech, to the priest, and he passes it through the fire and burns the child, or whatever. And Rashi brings it out, and of course, Galinsky, in his graphic way, says it, that he says, imagine, what is the Pasuk telling us here? That the priest comes this Yid's door, knocks on the door, and says, yes. He says, listen, Rabbi Yid, you know, everybody in the round here has been giving their kid to Molech. You know, there's Mishpacha Schwartz gave us somebody, and Mishpacha's Green, and Mishpacha's Goldstein, and whatever. And you haven't given us one of your kids for Molech. So, it's not fair. It's your turn. So he says, okay, let me speak to my wife just a second. She turns to the wife and says, listen, the Comer's here, the priest is here, and he's right, you know, it's not really, we haven't given any of your kids to Molech. So who should we give? So he said, well, Moshe, he's in school, you know, he's learning a trade, you know. And what about Yossi? Well, Yossi does all our purchases, runs the store for us a lot. And he says, you know, forget about Yossi. He says, oh, Shloimi. Yeah, Shloimi is learning in Cheder. Yeah, we'll give him. Meaning, what's the name? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, it's bad enough that you're giving your kids to Molech, but who is the one that you're giving to Molech? The one that's for me. This guy, the kid, is sitting and learning. That's the one that you part with. That's the one that you give to Avodah Zarah. And Rashi's teaching the Pasuk. Asher yaladtali v'tizbachim lahem lechol. The one that you gave birth for me, Hashem says, the one that's sitting and learning, that's the one that you're giving, you're slaughtering, giving it away to Molech. So, he says there's a lesson here for us as well. And what is that? You know, comes along, person has something important to do, take care of. So he says, okay, it's got to interrupt something of his daily schedule for this important task. So what is cheshbon does he make? He says, well, let's see, am I going to, you know, cut down on my sleep? He says, no, chas v'shalom. How about on my food? Maybe I won't eat so much then? No. Oh, daf yomi shir. Yeah, I'm sad. I'll do it during the hour that I usually go to my daf yomi shir. In other words, Hashem says you're willing to, you know, when you have to parse it, what do you put aside? Put aside things for me, the learning that he says. I was collecting money, and I came to this gevir. And I asked him, for a donation. Last year, you know, he gave us a nice donation. Can you please, you know? So he says, listen, Rabbi, what can I tell you? He says, business isn't going so well this year. So he said, first thing he told the guy was, you know, let me tell you something that the Satmarev told somebody when he told the Satmarevi that, you know, that my business isn't going so well this year. The Satmarevi told this person, well, at least it's going. So there's people that come to me with their businesses totally collapsed. So hey, it's going at least. You know, if you're happy, it's going. Anyways, he said, "Let me. It's very nice. You gave us a donation last year, but if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you a word." Says, "Okay, please." Says in the end of Maseches Gittin, the Mishnah discusses things that are grounds for divorce. Beis Shammai says if he found his wife was involved with Erva. Beis Hillel says, Afilu hikdicha tavshilo. Even if the wife burns the husband's food, it's a grounds for divorce. So he says, it sounds a little bit strange, no? He asked this Gvir. He says, that's a ground for divorce, burns of food. What's pshat? So he says, yeah, good question. So Galinsky explains to him. He said, let me tell you. What's it talking about? He says, imagine, you know, a woman, okay, she's busy, whatever, and doesn't realize, and the dinner burns. Husband comes home for the meal, and she's now thinking, okay, what should I do? You know, most of the stuff is burnt. So what she could do is she can scrape off at least the part that's edible, and, you know, add a little bit of spices here and there, you know, make it decent, and give it to the husband, and whatever, she'll take the burnt part for herself or something else. He says, but a woman that is not on that madriga, what is she going to do? She's going to give the husband the burnt food and say, oh, here, sorry, and she's going to take the good stuff for herself. She says, that's a woman that one has grounds for divorce. That's a woman. And he says, and it's not just that, it's meduyak in the lashon. What does it say? Afilu hikdicha, even if she burnt, tafshilo. Why does it say tafshilo, his food? She said, the food. Why his food? Meaning, because she's, burnt, the burnt's yours. Here, you take the burnt stuff. So he said, So he said, what's the idea? He says, listen, you know, I understand, you know, your business is not going as well as last year. Okay, could be. He says, but tell me something. You know, fine, you have to cut back. Are you cutting back on your vacation? You go, or the restaurants that you go to, or no, that, where are you cutting back? It's taka. You know, you got to cut back somewhere. So where are you cutting, what are you cutting back on? Is it things that your own personal needs, or your mitzvah Hashem? So if you're cutting up and putting mitzvah, that's hikdisha tafshilo. You know, the bad part, that goes to Hashem. You know, it's like the old story with the father. He gives the boy a couple of quarters, and he says, here, one quarter is for you, and one quarter is for you to give to tzedakah. So the boy says, oh, he's so happy. And he's walking down the street, and one of the quarters falls out of his hands and falls into a manhole. Goodbye. So he looks up into Shemayim and says, Shem, sorry, you lost your quarter. You know, it's the same idea. And I would say, what do you keep for yourself? What do you give towards the tuition? And he concludes with a nice pshat in the pasuk. It says that Vayayim Shachoach Tishkach Es Hashem Elokecha. Says in this week's Seder. Says if you forget Hashem. So he says, it's funny. First of all, Vayayah is Lashon Simcha. So why should it be Lashon Simcha to forget Hashem? And furthermore, why is the double Lashon Shachoach Tishkach? So he says that what's going to happen, of 120 years, a person's going to go up to Basin Shalmala, and they're going to ask him some questions. He says, tell me, he says, were you in touch with your parents every day? Did you phone them every day? The person's going to say, I forgot. Oh, you forgot, okay. Now tell me, son, did you pay back your loans on time? I don't know, sometimes I forgot. Well, you forgot that also. And then we're going to go through season. What about Bikur Cholim? Did you visit the sick, or is the guy better by the time you had a chance to go because you forgot about him? Or in Menuchim Avim, did you get up from Shiva by the time you remember to go to the ship, etc., etc., etc.? So it's going to look pretty bleak. And then they're going to say, ask the guy, tell me, when somebody owed you money, did you collect the money on time? So if he's going to say, oh yeah, that I didn't forget, he'll say, come on, you know, again, when it comes to your own thing, that you don't forget. It comes to other Hashem's mitzvahs, that you conveniently forgot. So therefore, v'ayayim shachoach tishkach, v'ayayim, what's going to be the simcha? Simcha is if a person is going to forget his own things. Then he at least has an excuse for the tishkach, for the things he's just forgetting about them. He says, okay, it's just true, Hashem, I forgot this, but I also forgot my own things as well, my own personal needs. Okay, then it's going to be a simcha. It'll be v'haya, im shachoach tishkach, he'll forget his own things as well as the things of Hashem. But if he's not, oy vavoy, then he's not going to have an excuse. Shal b'zoicha, to remember all the good things, the mitzvahs, and be involved in remembering Hashem. And if so, Hashem will answer back and remember us, hopefully soon, and bring the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehira v'yameinu.